Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to discuss it with you. Lines are wide open, again, at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Sometimes you read through the gospel accounts and you come across things that just make you scratch your head. You just stop and say, where in the world is this coming from? And there was a particular instance where John's disciples, so John the Baptist, there was a bunch of people that followed him, and they came to Jesus and they asked him this question: how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? It's a pretty simple, straightforward question. Well, Jesus answers with several different analogies, and one of the things he says is this: neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now, does that seem like a logical answer to the question John's disciples posed of Jesus? It doesn't seem to fit, but Jesus is trying to drive home a point. There was the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant had a purpose. The Old Covenant was meant for a certain period of time. And then that old covenant was to give way to a new covenant. And this new covenant came into effect, or was put into effect, the day Jesus died. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The will is not in effect until the one who made it dies. So we know all of that. So Jesus' death ushered in a new covenant. Well, what is one of the things that Satan tries to do to get us from enjoying all that we have in this new covenant? Well, he tries to get us to blend the old with the new and come up with a kind of a new type of approach instead of just letting the old be what it was meant to be and allowing the new to be what it's meant to be in our lives. Satan tries to get us to combine the two. So we're a little bit of law, a little bit of grace, a little bit of old covenant, a little bit of new covenant. And that's been the number one problem in the church since the days of Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, this blending of the old with the new has plagued the church of Jesus Christ. Satan has done a masterful job. Yeah. And Jesus was saying here, you can't mix the two. If you do, you're going to lose the purpose of both. You don't pour new wine, grace, into old wineskins, law. The law had a purpose, and that was to show us our need for Christ, to condemn us of sin. Law has only one language, and that's a language of condemnation. Grace has a language of life. So the law condemns us, so that we can see our real need for Christ. Once we turn to Christ for salvation, the law gives way. It's set aside, as the writer of Hebrews said, so that the grace of God can take charge fully and completely, and so that we can be led internally by Jesus Christ himself through his Spirit. Don't let Satan try to mix the two in your mind and move you to try a little bit of law and a little bit of grace. Leave them for what they are. Embrace this new covenant. Embrace this grace that is yours in him.
And that's what we talk about each day on Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to talk about it with us, and you can do that by calling 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call across the country and in Canada, 800-677-9377. Something on your mind? Let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. And normally, how that happens in our lives, how we come to a blending, we'll say we're saved by grace, And then to live the Christian life, it's by law.
Yeah.
And that's how we blend the two. And that's the mistake that the writers of the New Testament are warning against. Why? Because not only are we saved by grace, we are sustained by grace. Yeah. The Christian life is by grace through faith from start to finish.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Phoenix, Arizona, and talk to John listening to us on KXXT. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing wonderful. What's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. I have a question about forgiveness. I know people stumble all the time and ask for forgiveness and everything, but I've heard these stories like from the Mideast where people are under threat of death. That if they don't renounce Jesus Christ, then they're put to death. What, can you renounce and then get spared and then go back and ask for forgiveness later or something, Does that make sense?
Well, John, none of us know how we'll respond under those circumstances. If we look at what the Word of God has to say, Jesus was warning his disciples that they were going to be persecuted. And he basically said to them, don't worry about what to say at that moment because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. So I think if we're truly believers, truly born again, the Spirit of God lives in us, then we can trust his Spirit to give us the words to say. But like I said, none of us knows how we would respond in those circumstances. But here's the deal. If a person's in Christ, and that's the operative question, is somebody truly in Christ or not? And if they are in Christ, the Bible says they've already received forgiveness of sins. Even though we may be faithless, he remains faithful. And that's the truth. That's just the promise that we have in Christ. So if somebody is in Christ, they've received forgiveness. And we just have to rest on that.
Right. Okay.
So here's a verse for you that I think is an important verse, and it's in the book of Ephesians. It's chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter 1, and it starts with verse 7. This verse is repeated. Basically, the same words are used by Paul in his letter to the Colossians. But here's what it says, in him, so in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So the person who is in Christ has redemption through the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. Those are gifts of grace that have been granted to those who are in Jesus. So if you're in Jesus, you already have forgiveness.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, sure it does. Sure it does. I'm just thinking about like this Pastor Saeed who's over in Iran, being tortured, I'm sure, daily and everything. And, I guess they want him to renounce his faith. And would it be easier for him just to say yes and then get out of jail and then come back home and then ask for forgiveness? Or, I'm just kind of in a quandary about that. If that makes sense, yeah.
Well, in that situation, he is probably saying exactly what the Spirit of God is telling him to say.
Telling him, yeah.
Okay.
And, and besides, the people who are doing to him in prison already know that he's a Christian pastor. They're going to continue doing what they want to do, regardless of what he says. That's the nature of evil. And so I think the die is cast, and he has grace in his time of need to deal with it as he needs to deal with it.
Yeah,
John, and I think Richard makes an excellent point there, is that whatever comes our way, God's grace is sufficient to meet that situation. We can't call upon that grace for us when that situation isn't there.
No.
But if we were in that situation, we can count on the grace of God to be sufficient for us in that situation.
Right. Okay. Well, great. I thank you very much, and I really enjoy your program every day, and it's brought me a wealth of information, and God bless you guys for being there and doing that.
Well, thank you, John. And let me ask you, we have a little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door of Life. I don't know if you have it, but we would love to put it in your hands.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, hang on, and we'll send it to you as our compliments.
Okay,
thanks.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call today. You hang on.
This and all the materials that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available from our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. The booklet is called Forgiveness, The Door to
The door to life.
Yes.
Absolutely. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Malcolm, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Malcolm.
Hey, guys. Greetings from Northern Virginia. I was just hearing you guys talk about the difference between the old and the new, and of course I totally agree with all that you're saying. You have a lot of context when it comes to the new, bringing us back to the real world and the day-to-day living. And it kind of folded it well in with that last caller about the persecution and how would you respond and that kind of thing. But one will note that I was bringing in from my phone call was that when we were, you know, when you're out here in this real world and you're dealing with the organized church and how it's been absorbed into the old way of thinking and the old way of doing things, and you know, you got this general psychological mentality that you go to a building to receive this grace, to receive this forgiveness, to receive this quote-unquote relationship with God, and once you leave, you basically detach and go back to the real world, and you've left God in the sanctuary or something of that nature, that general psychological viewpoint. You feel alone and all that kind of thing. Coming to accept the real and new covenant makes you understand, that you have Christ with you at all times, and He'll give you the words, and He'll give you the wisdom, and then the things to say, the things to do, because He's prepared it beforehand. It's a beautiful thing. But when you're living in a new covenant in this world, it's really difficult to, you know, you want to be with other people that are of that new covenant understanding, and it's real difficult to line up with these kind of people unless you're online or run into them. Sometimes it's difficult to bring yourself to go back into the buildings of these organized churches in hopes that you'll run into somebody of that common understanding. It's difficult. So we keep praying in that direction. But sometimes the Lord will lead you back into those buildings from time to time, and you have to just be relaxed and willing to go with His loving leading. We found that to be true as well.
Well, I think we listen, and certainly we encourage people to listen to this program with discerning ears and to take what they hear to the Word of God and let the Word of God judge it, whether it aligns itself with the Word of God or not, because ultimately the Word of God is our standard for truth. And the Word of God has some specific comments about the law, the purpose of the law as far as a believer is concerned. Its purpose was really before coming to know Christ. It served to show us our need for a Savior. But once that purpose was fulfilled, the law steps aside and gives way to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ saves us. Jesus Christ makes us alive together with Him. He raises us up to walk in the newness of life, and He Himself comes to live inside of us to guide us internally through His Spirit. And that's what this new covenant, that's what grace is all about. And it's a truth, it's a reality that few really talk about. Because it's like that thing. Faith is what we don't see. We don't see Jesus living inside of us, but it's true, and we have to rest in that and abide in who He is in us, and that's what makes the Christian life exciting.
It's a relationship.
And when you've tasted that freedom, you don't want to go back. You don't ever want to go back. That's just the way it is. So you have to listen with, I think, discerning ears. Allow the Holy Spirit to interpret things for you and take everything that you hear back to the Word of God and let the Word of God be the standard for truth.
Absolutely. And you just let the Lord guide you and whether to keep moving or to camp out a little bit because God has some plans. Like right now, we're having a Bible study and being able to teach this new covenant. So it's just beautiful. So you just never know how those kind of things can develop. But always let God's Spirit be the director in the matter.
And you don't have to worry. You don't have to be fearful. I think that's one of the big things that, we hear this good news, we embrace this new life that we have in Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden fear grips our heart that, oh, wait a minute, I might go back, I might hear something that, and so we make decisions based on fear instead of the love of God, the grace of God that we say we've embraced. So I don't think there's anything for us to fear. We have God with us.
Absolutely, and that's the thing is it's His power doing the work, and you can just relax and sit in the back seat and see where Daddy's driving. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Well, let me speak to one thing you said that at times you're led back into a church that you might have been terribly uncomfortable in. I am living proof. My wife and I are proof that when other people follow God's leading and come into churches and ask interesting questions, that we were helped out of a situation because two people, the wife never could come into our church because there was so much oppression, but the husband did, and he would sit in a class I was teaching and ask questions that I couldn't answer, and it made me want to talk to him and find out what was going on, and that was one of the major issues that we had to deal with. If they hadn't been there, I mean, God sent them there for us. And so when you get sent into another church someplace, you never know who it is you're serving. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the body.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing. You're just, getting to be part of what God's doing. And He says, with the love of God constrains you to do it, then that's beautiful. That's the way He wants it. Fear's never a good way to go. We've learned that one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great to hear from you, Malcolm.
Yeah, say hi to Debbie for us.
Definitely will. You guys keep up the good work.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Cheryl listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Yes, my question is, it has to do with the church drawing people in a secular manner, as in the atmosphere being such that a certain group you might want to have an outreach to, such as teenagers, and you might have a rock and roll band playing Christian music. I just wanted to know what you thought of that, meaning you're compromising. I think you might be compromising the Word of God a little bit.
I think what we do, Cheryl, is that we forget about how attractive Jesus actually is to people when they see Him for who He really is. The fact that He is loving and forgiving and kind and all of those things, that's attractive to people. But we think we have to doll it up. We think we have to dress it up. We think we have to cater to what kids want or what adults want or what the baby boomers want or all of those sort of things. And I think we forget that if we just will give Jesus if we will just talk to people about Jesus, the fact that he is God, the fact that he died to take away our sins, the fact that he was buried and raised back to life, that message can penetrate human hearts. And wherever that message is proclaimed, lives are changed. That's just reality. And we forget the power of the gospel.
Okay, right. It's the power of the gospel that changes the hearts. But, you know, here in New York, we have such a diverse culture, and there's many people who have a preconceived idea of Jesus, meaning, you know, he wasn't this savior. He's not this savior. He was maybe a good guy, a prophet. Many people, you know, it's shocking to know that people have give their opinions on something they've never read. And not shocking. I shouldn't say shocking because, you know. But, see, in my case, I was led kicking and screaming, I always call it. I was brought to a Bible study because my husband was going, and I didn't have any idea what this was about. I just thought it was a way of teaching him about anti-Semitism. I'm a Jewish believer. And I had no idea. All I knew was my people have been persecuted throughout the centuries because of Jesus. Well, of course, it's not true, which I found out. But this is what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
I would have never, ever gone into a church, a Bible study, to hear the Word of God.
Yeah. But there was another reason, and God knew that, and... But through it, you were confronted with the claims of Christ. You were confronted with the truth, and you found out that he was indeed your Messiah, and you
Absolutely.
Put your faith and trust in him. So
when the pastor read to me Isaiah 53, I said, "Oh my!" And you know what? I didn't even question why did my people reject him. It's right here in the Old Testament.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I said, oh, my, this is him, the one they were, oh, my. And then I accepted him, and then you know what? I felt a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Because I did not know why the world hated us.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, well, we killed their God. That's all we heard. In New York, it's them and us kind of thing.
Right.
And... this is what I heard growing up. So, you know, when I felt relief that I did not do anything. No, God laid his life down for us. It says, no man takes my life.
That's exactly right, Cheryl. And that is a powerful truth right there. Jesus
yep.
voluntarily laid down his life for you and for me so that we could receive life in him.
Powerful testimony.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for calling in on today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some information about the ministry, some resources that I think you will really enjoy. But thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You hang on.
And Cheryl, be sure to give our operator your email address as well. Well, we are just about out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Every weekday, we're here on the air showing how the basic gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's you who make it possible for us to be on your station by your prayers and your financial support. To show our appreciation for your standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. Now, we're down to the last 4 days for this offer, so be sure to make the call. Go online and make your gift and request your copy. The number, 800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time today. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, the art of spiritual war, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To review each day's broadcast, get on the list. I'm speaking, of course, of our email list. Simply click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you're going to receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcast so that you can go in and review what was said and what was learned. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you feel this broadcast is beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And in the meantime, have a great evening in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ.